Hey, Mark.
Hey Robert, how are you?
Doing well.
Good man. Just let you in early before everyone else, just in case you had any questions last second or as we end this.
When we call to order, do we have to go to a motion to do that?
We do not, not for this meeting. We don't have to approve the agenda or anything like that.
Also, I worked through some scenarios on the tiebreaker stuff last night, and there were two different ways that I came up with in the first tiebreaker scenario. One would eliminate the bottom seed, and then one would bring out the top seed of it. So I don't know if the language in that tiebreaker should be either eliminates the bottom seed or eliminate or moves on the top seed.
Okay, so no one's being eliminated in this tiebreaker. They're all advancing to bracket play. It's just their spot in the bracket.
Well, I'd use eliminated a little loosely there, meaning
Okay.
that when we go to the three-way, instead of trying to figure out who's the bottom seed, right? That first tiebreaker can take out the top seed, or it could take out the bottom seed. So the top two teams could be tied still, or the bottom two teams could be tied still, but it takes out one of them.
Yeah, wouldn't that happen in any type of tiebreaker depending on the scores of the match?
Yeah, that's why it was I think so, absolutely. But it
Yeah.
looked like the language was a little it was geared toward figuring out who the bottom seed was,
Okay,
the
gotcha.
third
Yeah.
place.
I mean, if you don't have success in pool play, then you should be.
No,
The
no, no. No, no,
bottom.
no, 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 no. That's not quite what I'm saying. Let me
Okay.
see if I so and we could discuss it later, and I know what it said.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and let everyone
Yeah,
in.
go ahead, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. My name is Mark Burchard. I'm the Associate Director of Championships at the NEI and in charge of Women's Beach Volleyball. We'll get started here in just a few moments. Some people are still joining the call, and I have to admit everyone from the waiting room. So we'll get started here in just a second. All righty, not seeing anyone in the waiting room. We'll go ahead and get started. Again, thank you very much for joining us. My name is Mark Burchard. I'm the Associate Director of Championships at the NAI. Want to use today's call to kind of kick off the season. I know some of you may have already started playing as the official start date was with last week or so, but want to review some information and really start getting this coaches association a little bit more organized as we hopefully head towards championship status in the NEI for women's beach volleyball. We are very close to that point. So we'll discuss that during today's meeting and some additional sport motions as well. But I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Robert. from Loyola to get kick off this meeting.
I just want to call this meeting to order.
Awesome. If we could, let's go ahead and have our executive committee introduce themselves. Robert, as the first vice president, I'll go ahead and start off with you.
I am Robert Petrie. I'm the head beach and head indoor now coach at Loyola, New Orleans. I've been there for 7 years, and this will be my 3rd year as the head beach coach.
Awesome. Annette?
Hi, I'm Annette Davis from the Masters University. I have been there since 2018. I just stopped coaching indoor as of this December, so I'm beach only now, which I'm super excited about. Started the beach team there in 2020.
Thank you very much. So we do have, looks like about 15 other coaches on the call as well. I would like to have each one of you introduce yourselves and state which institution you are representing. And I'll go ahead and name those off in on our participant list. Carol Legato, and I apologize if I mispronounced your name.
No, that's correct. Hi, everybody. I'm Carol Legato. I'm assistant coach for indoor and leading more of the beach team here at William Carey with Coach Rhonda Shirley. It's my second season here with her. So nice meeting you all.
Thank you, Carol. Dan Stevens.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm on a job site, so Dan Stevens, Corbin University. Been there since 2020, assisting until last season, head coach last season, and head coach again this year. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. David Blakemore.
My name is David Blakemore. I'm the head beach volleyball coach at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Also volunteer to help some with the indoor staff as well. This will be my third season as head coach and actually the fourth season for the beach program overall.
Awesome. Thank you. Joe Herrera.
Yeah, this is I'm Joe. I'm the head women's beach coach at Troy McConnell, also the head indoor coach at Troy McConnell. This will be my second season at Troy McConnell.
Thanks, Joe. John Campbell. Not sure if John can unmute himself, but Kim, is it El Garcio?
Close, El Garrico.
El Garrico, I'm very sorry about that.
It's close. Yeah, I'm the head beach coach at Bushnell University. I used to assist with indoor a while back. This is our fourth season, and this is my fourth year as head coach.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Kim. Michaela Holcomb.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michaela Holcomb. I'm the head coach for indoor and beach at Spartanburg Methodist College here in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And
Thank
it's
you.
my second year.
Awesome. Thanks, Michaela. Nancy Sokobe. Nancy, are you able to unmute yourself? Okay. John Campbell, I see you unmuted yourself. Are you able to introduce yourself?
John Campbell, University of Mobile. Been here 20 years, indoor head coach, and I've been head coach for 5.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Nancy, are you able to?
Yes, I was. Hey, everybody. I'm Nancy Sikovi, head indoor and head beach. This is going to be my second season here at Florida Memorial University.
Thank you. Paul Elliott.
Hi, I'm Paul Elliott. I'm an assistant indoor coach at Southern Oregon University and the head beach volleyball coach at SOU. And we are beginning our third season.
Thank you. Savannah Segrist.
Hi, I'm Savannah Segrist. I am the head coach at Weber International University for women's beach. This will be my first season with women's. I've been also here for 2 years with the men's beach program.
Awesome. Thank you. Tegan McCormick.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tegan McCormick from Ave Maria University. I have been the head indoor and beach coach, and this is my second season as the head, and I've been with the school for 3 years now.
Thank you. And then we do have three individuals on the call that don't have names on their participant list. I have an iPhone if you would like to go ahead and mute yourself and introduce yourself. If you're able to. All right.
Hi, this is Adam Cottrell with Hope International University. It's my third year here.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate that. We have an M0910323. I love Zoom calls.
Hi, sorry. I'm Maya Thomas. I'm the head beach volleyball coach over at St. Thomas University. This is my first year as a head coach. I just recently finished playing for the program, actually. So I'm very excited.
Awesome. Thanks, Maya. Appreciate it. And is it Pisilia? Or Pisilla?
Aloha. Close. Pisilla.
Pisilla.
Yep, first year head coach, women's indoor and beach, alongside assistant coach, Coach Duke, who will also help with beach. And we are at Park University in Gilbert, Arizona. 3 years been with Park, but first year coaching. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Did I miss anyone? All right. We'll go ahead and move on to the national office report. This was included in the packet that I sent out last night, but I did want to review kind of, because this is really my first time working with this group on how to enact change in the Coaches Association. How do you vote on a policy? How do you propose a change to either a sport modification rule, the championship qualification process, the format of the invitational? How is that done? So I kind of want to review that process. I know you saw probably a few emails from me over the last few months about like a link to a, what we call a sport motion. A coaches association can submit a sport motion to propose a change, really in anything that's listed in your coach's manual. So sport-specific policies, qualification policies, competition rules, those are just examples of what you can propose a change on. Once that is submitted to us, then we get to this point where the Coaches Association can discuss, vet, and vote on said coach sport motions. Depending on if those motions are supported or approved by this group, then they go on to our National Administrative Council, which we call just an acronym NAC for short. The NAC is comprised of about 40 administrators from around the country, mostly ADs and commissioners, but we do have senior women leaders, SIDs, athletic trainers, various positions, but about 40 individuals. And they review all sport motions that come from coaches associations and determine whether or not they receive final approval to be implemented in sport manuals for the upcoming year. So if a sport motion is approved by this body, then it moves on to the NAC for final approval and then implemented for the following academic year. And throughout that process, we do communicate with you what step along the way it is in and also the final results. This is probably new information for a lot of coaches on this call. So I do want to pause there for just a moment if you have any questions on like really anything regarding a proposal to change things. I know a lot of them in this room have experience on the indoor side, but some of you may be new to this process as well. Okay, not hearing any questions there.
No, Mark, can you, sorry, I think a coach is trying to be let in.
Oh,
do you see it?
I don't have anyone in the waiting room.
Okay, she's texting me, okay.
I do. I have that open on my screen just in case I see someone, but I'll pay attention to it, but I don't see one right now. Sponsorship update and site selection. So Bond will continue to serve as the official volleyball during the Invitational. this upcoming year. And this, the 2025 Invitational will be held again in Greenville, Tennessee. We are still accepting bids for the 2026 and 27 Invitational. And I just kind of wanted to review kind of the bid process and how we determine where the Invitational is held. Each cycle, we send out a bid packet to many cities, CBB sports commissions around the country, and kind of advertise or market that to those groups. We give them the requirements, cost-wise, expense-wise, revenue-wise, everything like that, to determine if they want to bid on it. So it is an open bid process. Once we receive the bids, we do review them. And sometimes we bounce that off of our executive committee, which was Annette and Robert on this call, and get their feedback on the sites, then ultimately determine our final site that wins the bid. If you do have any interest in submitting a bid for the Invitational, or if you know a facility or a city that might be interested in hosting the Invitational, we're definitely open to researching that and looking through that. This past spring, we did launch NEI Connect. It's our new technology platform, kind of serves as our database and our learning hub for everything regarding NEI rules and communications. You will also submit your postseason rosters through NEI Connect this year as well. As we get a little bit closer to that, you'll get more information from the national office. It is important to note that if you haven't logged in, go ahead and try to log in. It is your email address with .nai at the very end. That is your username to log into the NEI Connect platform. We did have two new members in the NEI that were approved this past fall, Mount Mary University in Wisconsin and Trinity Western University in British Columbia. To my knowledge, I don't have any beach volleyball programs at either one of those schools, but we are in active recruitment with about 30 institutions throughout the country, various makeups of, you know, previous D1 or D2, D3, and USCAA, or schools transitioning from a two-year junior college to a four-year. So a lot of diverse schools that are, you know, looking to join the NEI. We are currently undergoing a brand advocacy exercise at the national office, looking to market, you know, and be proud of to be an NEI member. So you will see this program being launched here probably in the next few weeks. There'll be various social media accounts and asking campuses to get involved as well. Jumping into specific beach volleyball sport policies, we do have set start dates for practices, exhibitions, scrimmages, and competitions in the spring term. September 1 each academic year is the start date for practices, scrimmages, and exhibitions. Then in the second term or spring term, Thursday of the last full weekend in January is the date that competitions can begin. Then frequency play, the limits for beach volleyball, you're allowed to play in 26 dates. That's not events, that is dates. So you can play multiple matches on a given date as long as you don't exceed 26. You are also allowed two scrimmages in addition to those 26 dates. So you can play 26 countable competitions, or 26 dates of countable competitions, plus two additional scrimmage dates to still be in compliance with that rule. And currently, there is no minimum number of matches or dates that a team must play to qualify for postseason. That's going to be a discussion piece I think that this group needs to land on in the future, as I do believe, and policy-wise across the board, there's a standard that to qualify for postseason in all sports in the NEI, you have to play this many games, this many matches. It gets a little bit challenging when you get down to selection for the limited spots in the Invitational, when you're comparing a team that's only played 10 matches versus a team that's played 20 matches. It does get challenging. So something we want to have consistency in the future. Last item before we move on to the sport motions is championship status for women's beach volleyball. The NEI requires at least 30 institution to sponsor a sport or to qualify for national championship status. Right now, women's beach volleyball is above that 30 threshold. This group would need to make a motion to be considered for championship status. And there's a few things that would have to come along with that as well in regards to the format that we currently use for invitational. Right now, all teams competing in the invitational advance to the single elimination bracket. That's really unheard of in kind of championship formats that we have. You're probably all familiar with the indoor championship where there's pool play there as well, but not all teams advance out of pool play. So that's something that would have to be discussed and an updated format would have to be considered before you would apply for championship status. With that, I'll go ahead and stop. Any questions for me on any policies that I reviewed?
Just one real quick, Mark, if we could. David Blakemore, Oklahoma Wesleyan. If I read the NAIA overall manual correct, beach volleyball does also get one exhibition match. Is that correct? And are we limited to just one if we have other playable dates still available on our calendars?
A great question, David. I'm so sorry. Let me look that up for you. Yes, that's correct, David. Beach volleyball is allowed one exhibition per season. So in addition.
So does that mean theoretically, if we don't have a full allotment of 26 playable dates, that we could do an additional one and it would just count towards the 26? Or are we limited exclusively to just one exhibition?
That language kind of contradicts itself, David, because the exhibition is referring to one contest when everything refers to dates. So do you see that, how that kind of contradicts one another?
Right.
If I'm right with you, let me talk with our legislative services team and send out an email to this group letting you know what they say, because that's really under their interpretation.
Sure. I appreciate it. That's why I had the question.
No, that's a great question.
It's a clarification. So.
100%. Great question. So let me get the answer for you, then I'll email this group back.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions that I may or may not be able to answer?
Adam with Hope. In regards to how indoors running the championships for us that aren't involved indoor, can you share once again how their teams are selected and whatnot?
Yeah, in women's indoor volleyball, the automatic qualifiers are basically selected in this or earn their AQs in the same manner as women's beach volleyball through either their conference tournament or regular season. In indoor volleyball, we do have a national selection committee that selects the at-larges and seeds the national championship field 1 through 48. They have various criteria that was determined by the coaches association to fall on to select their field. Right now, beach volleyball uses the final rating. So each conference raters, all the conference raters vote on the at-larges. So that's a big difference there. I'm not sure. I would like to discuss in the future that this group moving to a selection committee, but we don't currently have any statistics that we capture in the sport, what makes it challenging to compare teams with a selection committee, if that makes sense. And Adam, your question, did that further into the, like how the championship is ran as well with pool play and things like that?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind sharing that, maybe another time, if now's not appropriate, but.
No, 100%. I think
that information is helpful.
100%. At the beach ball or the indoor championship, there are, I believe, 16 pools or 8 pools of, Paul, I'm looking at you.
eight pools.
Eight pools of 3. Thank you. And then the champion of the pool advances to a single elimination bracket. So kind of similar with how the Beach Volleyball Invitational is ran as teams advance out of pool play to a single elimination bracket. Just the difference between the two is indoor, not all the teams advance because we have 24 teams at the final site in women's beach, women's indoor, and we only have 8 teams at the Invitational. Does that help, Adam?
Very much so. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right. I think we'll go ahead and move on to support motions. Annette and Robert, lean on you. Do you want to introduce these support motions or would you like for me to read them out?
I would love for you to read them out.
Perfect. Sounds good. The first motion came out of yesterday's executive committee meeting with Annette and Robert. It was regards to the current procedures used at the Invitational to break three-way ties. Currently, women's beach volleyball uses the same criteria that the indoor championship uses to break ties, which is sets won or lost, point differential, and coin flip. If there's a three-way tie based on that criteria at the Invitational currently, the team that is judged superior receives a bye in a single tie-breaking set. The second and third team that judge on that criteria play a single set tiebreaker. Then the winner plays the team that was judged superior. And that's how they are seeded in the single or placed into the single elimination bracket. My question to the executive committee is right now, no teams are eliminated at the Invitational. Everyone moves on to bracket play. So is there a need to play additional sets at the current format, the Invitational? So that's where this motion came from. We do need to have a coach from this call a motion to approve the motion for it to be discussed and a second. It's not indicating that you are in support of the motion. This is just Robert's rules of order. It's just to get this piece of this proposal onto the floor.
Motion to approve.
Thanks, Paul.
I second. If you need that, I don't know.
We do. Thank you, Joe. All right. So the motion has been first and seconded. So it is on the floor. Any questions or points of emphasis or opinions on it?
David Blakemore, Oklahoma Wesley again. I would be in favor of this, given that all teams advance to bracket. It just kind of makes sense to me. You know, down the road, if it's the case where all teams do not, obviously that would need to be addressed then. But this seems to be a pretty simple way to keep things moving and be efficient with that National Invitational.
Thanks, David. Absolutely. If we move to a format to where not all teams advance out of pool play, we have to play it out. There's no other way to do that. But when we do move to championship status, we would build in a period of the day where there is time for a tiebreaker. Right now, with our current schedule at the Invitational, if there's a tiebreak set, it's not built in the schedule because we are working with a very condensed schedule as it is already. So you basically just push back bracket play until those tiebreak sets are over. Any other questions?
No, just Dan with Corbin, and I would agree with that. I'd say this is probably good way to move.
Yeah, the motion has been first and seconded. So it's on the floor. We do have to hold a vote if we think we're ready to do so. Okay, we will use this as a straw poll vote on Zoom. I will send out an online ballot for everyone to vote on officially. But if we could, let's go ahead and just unmute ourselves and all in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Aye.
We sounded like the seagulls from Finding Nemo.
anyone against? Okay, any abstentions? Okay. All right.
Mark, I have a question.
Yes.
Do we have the amount of coaches necessary on here to pass a motion?
Well, right now I am counting. Let me just do a quick check. We have 17 coaches on here, so we do not need an online ballot. Thank you, Robert. So we do have a quorum. We have over 50% of NAI coaches on this call. So we actually do not need one to send out an online vote. Thanks for pointing that out. The second motion here in front of you is to allow the All-America Committee to select the Beach Volleyball Pair of the Year after the first team is selected by the Executive Committee. And it indicates that the recipient of the award must be a member of the All-America first team. Last year was the first year that NAI Women's Beach Volleyball had a first and second All-America team. Previous to that, there was no All-America awards for the sport in the NAI. But there still was a Pair of the Year award. So there was a creation of All-America teams, then a separate process to determine the pairs of the year. Pair of the year was voted on by the on-site coaches at the Invitational. So it created a little bit of it didn't seem very streamlined to me to have that pair of the year be selected by a different group that's determined the first and second team All-Americans. So just trying to get everything under the same roof and the same committee award that. Again, this would need a first and second to be put to the floor.
I'll make a motion to approve. David Blakemore.
Thank you, David. Do we have a second?
I second that from OUEZ.
Great. Thank you very much. All right. It's on the floor. Any discussion? Any questions on the motion?
For first team, is it always both members of the pair are selected to first team, or are there situations where one member of the pair would be on first team and that either the other person is on second team or not mentioned? Would they be eligible for pair of the year? Or is it always going to be just, it has to be the two people, a whole pair that's on first team?
Good question. So the pairs are submitted by coaches. And then you do have to be, there's no way for one to be on first team, one to be on the second team. They are submitted by the coaches in that order. So it's however that coach submits them at the deadline.
I have a question on that, actually, because I can't remember from you last year. Was there a percentage of matches that pair needed to play? Because most of the time, that's what needs to happen. Like, so is there a percentage of the season or amount of games that they have to play before they're nominated for that?
Yes, there is. Let me look that up on that. Good question. I think it's 66%. I think that's because that's consistent with what we do on the indoor side of things with some of the visit for their awards. But let me look it up.
How many coaches are on the American committee when selecting?
So it is just your executive committee, which is five positions. So it's a committee of five. Yes, Annette, it says a minimum participation level of 66% at a flight is required to be considered for All America status. So you have to compete at least 2/3 of the season at that to be considered.
And then I think Robert brought up good points yesterday as far as coaches making sure that they really give the committee, you know, information on their players and things like that as well. Can you speak to that, Robert?
Sure, I can. So last year when I received the ballot, there was a mix of information on there. I mean, most importantly, you know, your overall record, and then description of why they should be selected as well. Some coaches put in a good bit of information, and some coaches just put in records, right? If they have wins over Division I programs, like that's something that's should be in there. Like that's important. And then not just Division I wins, but you know, they beat, you know, a top Division I team, you know, whether they were whatever pair they were in. So just the detail and when those nominations come out, because there were a lot of it was a lot of information to go through and in a very short amount of time. And I don't want any of your pairs that should be considered to miss out based on not taking your time to put in the information needed to be selected.
Thank you, Robert. Any questions on this motion or statements?
Yeah, I have one. This is Paul from SOU. So I'm wondering if Annette's question about 66% means that that pair had to play together 66% of the time, or could they be player of the year? They each played that amount for their team, but were they put together late in the year? So does the 66% mean they have to be that pair 2/3 of the time?
I believe it does, Paul, that they should be playing together for at least 2/3 of the year, because it's based on, yeah.
Okay.
What I'm finding is a lot of these policies for women's beach volleyball were modeled after indoor when it is just a completely different game. Some of it correlates, but a lot of it doesn't in regards to tiebreakers and even this. So if there is a change that we feel needs to be made, this is the time to do it, or at least start those discussions.
Yeah, I think the 66, that's what I meant. I think that makes sense, because if you're the pair of the year, you should be playing together. You can't play in three tournaments and be called pair of the year, right? It has to be something that's sustained and shown over time that you deserve that, you know, to be called that, awarded that.
What I can do in that is I can put some clarifying language in the coach's policy just to make sure there's no confusion there. Okay, the question on the floor is basically who selects the pair of the year and what process. It was discussed with the executive committee yesterday that there was fears of the pair of the year award being selected by the on-site invitational coaches becoming more of a pair of the tournament award because you had a great weekend at the invitational, which is awesome. But should that signify the entire year's work over another? So there was a very short discussion that there very well could be another award created for a pair of the tournament, which is we have that in a lot of sports, but specifically right now we're just talking about pair of the year. Any other discussion? Okay.
Mark, my apologies. I need to interrupt on something a little bit unrelated. Jorge Rodriguez from Texas Wesleyan is trying to get into the meeting, but the link apparently that he tried to send, he can't get it to work. Is there a way for you to send him something directly, either via to his cell phone or something, where he can try to get back on?
Let me hold on just a second. Sorry, both my screens are being taken up with the call. So hold on just a second. I think I can. No, I just entered the waiting room. Okay. Okay, can you see the agenda again, everyone? Back to it? No, not yet. What about now? Okay, all right. Thank you very much. All right, do have this on the floor. Any further discussion on sport motion number two? And it was first and seconded. And not hearing anything, I'll go ahead and hold the vote. If you could just again signify in favor by unmuting yourself and saying aye.
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 Okay. Anyone against? Okay, any abstentions? All right, that does pass. Both of these motions will be brought to the NAC here in the next few weeks for review. For implementation for the invitational. And the next item on the agenda is a nomination for the secretary position on the executive committee. Annette, I know you did send me an email about potential nomination. So if you would like to, you can nominate that individual. But if anyone has any other nominations, please go ahead and unmute yourself, and you can also nominate yourself if you would like.
I had Vera Serrano from OUAZ.
Vera, I know you're on the call. Would you accept that nomination?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you.
I nominate Paul from SOU and Carol from William Carey.
Awesome. Thank you. Paul and Carol, are you accepting of those?
Robert, that's a lovely gesture. I'm going to pass.
Robert, Carol? Thank you. I accepted. Yes. Yes, I did.
Thank you, awesome. Carol.
And I should have introduced this a little bit better, but as an executive committee member, you are basically the leadership of this coaches group. So you would be in contact with me through various points of the year, and also as a communication conduit to the coaches association. So you're hearing things within the coaches group. Coaches are always welcome to reach out to me, but sometimes they're definitely more comfortable talking with other coaches about things. So if there's an important issue coming up, we just want to make sure we're have a pulse on it. And then obviously helping with coming up with sport motions, updating policies, just to guide this group forward.
So Mark, if he's willing to accept a nomination, I'd like to also nominate Jorge Rodriguez from Texas Wesleyan.
Jorge, welcome to the call. Sorry, I didn't see you in the waiting room, man. But would you accept?
Sorry. Hello, everybody.
Do you mind explaining again what the nomination is for?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're being nominated as a member of the executive committee. The executive committee serves as the leadership of this coaches group. So helps guide this coaches group into the future with coming up with, you know, policy changes, proposals. Also meets with me throughout various times of the year, and also kind of helps me communicate with other coaches as well within NAI Beach Volleyball. So if you're hearing something, a hot button issue, hot topic, I want to know about, you can bring that to me. There's no financial commitment, if you're wondering.
Yeah, I accept the nomination. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, so I do have Barry from OUAZ, Carol from William Carey, and Jorge from Texas Wesleyan. Correct, Jorge?
Yes, sir.
Okay, awesome. I will send this out for an online ballot. That way, we just do that through SurveyMonkey. That does conclude all of our action items on the floor. Does anybody have any other? It's basically open discussion at this point. Anybody have any questions or other motions that they want to potentially discuss?
Mark, my AD said that the Cascade Conference, Collegiate Conference, ADs put a motion in to back up the season a little bit. Did that make it to you guys, or was that not the case?
It did. So there, yes, Paul, we're aware of it. It has not been, to my knowledge, it hasn't been officially submitted. So it's not on the table at this point, but we did discuss more so the date of the invitational with the executive committee yesterday. For all the coaches on this call, the proposal is to basically bump back the season. The start date for spring competitions would move back into the about the 10th, around the 10th of February. And the date of the invitational would move back about 2 weeks to the second full weekend in May. The executive committee discussed it yesterday and was not in favor of it, feeling that extending the season would be a hardship on institutions to keep individuals on campus, that there's a lot of overlap with indoor volleyball. So those student athletes would be on campus from very early August all the way through, you know, gosh, potentially the middle of May. But they did recognize that there are weather challenges for institutions to get those seasons in, especially in your area of the country, Paul. In early January or late January, there's challenges there. But definitely open for discussion. But the executive committee was not in favor of that. And I'll let Annette and Robert chime in as well if I misspoke on anything.
Yeah, I'm not a proponent of it at this point in time. And I didn't know it was Cascade, and I had a feeling it was. I did coach at Bushnell for a little while, and I can imagine playing beach volleyball in January is not fun up there. It's not fun in New Orleans in January, so it's definitely not fun up there. But historically, a lot of the NAIA championships do finish before the NCAA championships in most sports. And I feel that's probably a pretty good time for us. And then also extending an additional 2 weeks into the second weekend of May puts a lot of schools playing in a national championship during graduation time.
All that makes a lot of sense. I was just curious, and we still have a lot of fun playing beach volleyball up here.
Is that what you should? Yeah, we had 8 inches of snow. We stayed indoors for a while.
Yeah, and what Robert said, I mean, so I do have a relationship with these folks in Gulf Shores, Alabama. We all know the announcement yesterday, probably, that they are hosting again, moving from Huntington to Gulf Shores for this year's championship. But, you know, if we move behind the NCAA beach volleyball championships, that probably eliminates our ability to ever go to use that same site. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I want it to happen in the future for us to have a good, great site like that, but that does eliminate our opportunity there. But Paul, do you have any opinions on it? It did originate from your conference, so I'm not sure if you're in favor or against.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I know that our indoor team, we don't use a lot of players, but we have recruited a few that play both. And being an indoor assistant indoor coach and coached at Southern Oregon for years before that indoor, I understand the importance of spring ball. And so to get them, the ones that do play both, get them back into the spring season is helpful. So yeah, I'm fine with everything the way it is and the way it was explained. It makes perfect sense.
So I it's David Blake Morgan from Oklahoma Wesleyan. I'd like to chime in a little bit on this too. I think you're going to find and I'll kind of speak for the Midwest group. Jorge can jump in if he disagrees. Our weather is not great either. So the more flexibility we have, the better. And that certainly would include pushing things later in the spring when we're hoping the temperatures are above 45 than in January and February, where you never know what you have. So certainly an odd year this year with snow about 300 miles south of us last week. But I think you would also see, and I say that not just for the NAIA coaches, also for the NCAA beach coaches that I've talked to here in the Midwest. The weather is such a challenge that the more flexibility that the beach volleyball calendar has, usually the more opportunities we have to get what we need. So,
David, would you be in favor of that, the change, as I'm understanding that?
I would probably lean towards allowing the season to be pushed back as far as the group of coaches is comfortable with. And I don't know that I would even necessarily need to see or would be opposed to seeing the start date kind of stay as is and kind of make, again, because we're talking about 26 dates for several schools, weather is not the same kind of challenge. So if they want to play some stuff in late January, early February, I don't see why we would prohibit them from not getting an earlier start if they want. I think in this case, it's just all about flexibility because we have schools in very different parts of the country with very different weather challenges. So,
yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I'm not sure why the start date is tied to this because, in the NAIA, you have 24 weeks to conduct your season. Why change the start date and just allow the coaches or the programs to determine when they want to practice or actually begin it? I don't think it impacts that too much. As for the invitational or championship schedule, right now we are on the second to last week, the last week in April, which is the weekend before the NCAA tournament. This year, the national office is a facilitator, so we'll do whatever our membership wants. But I don't know what this group wants. I think I've heard from a few people. But do we want to put this for a straw poll to see if we support moving it back, the invitational dates, or leaving it as is?
Well, this is Dan from the Cascade Conference at Corbin, and I'm in agreement with Paul, but I'm also flexible on things. We're used to playing in this weather, but a little more flexibility would help.
So do you want to put this for a straw poll on the meeting, or?
Of course, they think so.
I mean, what does the straw poll do at this point? Because there's no, motion.
It would give the Cascade Conference the idea of the support level from the coaches association on whether to further this or stop at this point. It's not an official endorsement, but
so, Mark, Tennessee, who's hosting, is it just one more year? Is it this year and then it's up for bid, right?
Yes.
So obviously nothing would happen this year. Mm-hmm. It would be in the future. And if you're already getting bids, you're getting bids for time of year that's already in place. So it would have to be done rather quickly. Are we sure that the NCAA is only 1 week after the NAIA? It seems like it's in the second weekend in May, because I watch it on TV all the time. I don't know. It seems like it's later. And then my second question is, how many schools are graduating before May 15th? I would question how, I mean, I'm sure there are, but I usually it's a little later in May than that.
We graduate right around May 10th, May 11th, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. Same with OUAB. We graduate before.
Okay. Well, we want to keep it off of graduation weekend for sure.
Correct.
Yeah. Looking at the proposal and I was thinking that definitely.
I mean, like,
girls would miss.
Oh, sorry. I thought
Lee's opening. I'm looking at the championship dates for NCAA.
NCAA championship dates are May 2nd through 4th this year, May 1st through 3rd, May 7th through 9th, May 5th through 7th, and that's from 25 to 28.
Yeah, so it is going to be exactly 1 week after our current invitation. It's the way the calendar was set up. So if we make it a move, we could obviously go to the same week. We could go to the same week as them. That obviously eliminates any potential joint site with them. They're not going to want to do this, or would we want to do that? But we're also going to be competing for officials as well, which could make it a challenge there. But afterwards would be the discussion.
We definitely don't want to be on the same schedule as NCAA. We want to have our own party, so to speak.
Absolutely. So what I'm hearing from this group is there does need to be a need for some more additional flexibility with the season. But not quite to the level of moving it back 2 weeks to go to extend the season. Is that correct? And kind of summarize? Does that make sense?
That's correct. This is Dan again. It doesn't seem like there's much room there for movement, but we could possibly see about something in our conference if we have any more flexibility there.
Well, I will take that feedback and let our legislative services team know, and also Rob Cashel at the Cascade. Also let him know about this discussion. All right.
So just to be clear on my end, this is mostly like you guys are, it's mostly about weather for you guys and not about the indoor crossovers and them being able to participate in spring practices. Just like because I get the weather for sure.
I think it was more about the weather, Annette, just extending the runway to allow, you know, a later start time or start date, or some of the schools are in areas that might be a little bit cooler for out, you know, an outdoor event like that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, 2 more weeks is a lot of time to get competitions up.
Yeah, for me, just being so new, I mean, weather definitely, but it can be just as cold in April, to be honest. And it's more of looking at the other sports that are winter, spring sports, softball, track, you know, and just being naive, just thinking, why are we finishing April 22nd when, you know, other sports aren't, and we're the, you know, we're playing. Yeah, I don't know. So it was just seeing the other, because we are not a spring sport. We are a winter spring sport. So it just kind of caught me thinking, why aren't we following more of a model of, and so I guess these schools that have softball teams and track athletes, they're competing 2-3 weeks after graduation. So that's tough. That's really hard to do. I understand.
And that's a huge pain point right now, Paul, in those sports. It's just the length of that season and keeping student athletes after. You know,
we don't have that many schools either competing. So I get it. It sounds like we're going to keep it and love every minute of it.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, as everybody was kind of talking about it, again, all great points. I wonder if this is something that maybe as the committee needs to start looking at, you know, going from invitational to championship status, maybe this is something that we try to address all in one swoop in terms of, you know, changing the event. Because, again, if it's championship status, we're talking about not everybody advancing out of pool play. That may give us a few extra options on pushing the event a little bit closer to the NCAA one. Maybe it's a pool play through the Saturday before and then bracket in on a Monday, Tuesday, kind of similar to, I think, what they were doing with indoor now. But maybe it's a situation where as we move out of invitational status, we look at trying to accommodate some of that maybe on the back end when we do that.
Really good point, David. Thank you very much. I like that idea. All right. Well, that might conclude our open discussion. But anyway, else have anything for the group? Any potential thoughts or motions before we depart?
David, do you have any interest in serving on the executive committee?
At the moment, no. And I actually nominated Jorge because he and I had both volunteered last year. The reason I probably would pass at the moment, back in August, for those of you that are familiar with club volleyball, I was graciously elected to be the president of the board of directors for the Oklahoma region. So I have a pretty full plate now. But that's why I nominated Jorge. Jorge's done a great job with all the challenges that we have with Midwest Beach Volleyball and NAIA. So I was glad to see he was willing to accept that nomination, but I just don't know that the time's going to permit me to do it. So.
All right. Unless there's any other business that anyone has, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn. And keeping with Robert's Rules of Orders, we do a motion in a second, and then we can adjourn the meeting.
I motion to adjourn.
I second that.
Thank you, Joe. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone against? Abstain. All right. Everyone, thank you very much for your time. We did record this, so we will send out a link to the recording for all coaches, and we'll be in contact. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck this season.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.